Hello, Radio World. This is DJ Marissa. You are listening to 91.5 WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. The show tonight is Bat Sounds. I'm kicking off an innovative show. My parents make fun of me for my pronunciation of that. Sorry, Emma, you don't have a mic right now. It's not on the board. With guest star Emma Herdman.
Hey, it's me.
And we're doing electronic free music. So we're doing all music off CDs, records, or alternate media. We'll figure it out. But no laptops or phones tonight.
It's very, very chill. Very, very alt.
Yeah. So please enjoy. We're kicking off with something I picked up randomly from the, I believe, local CDs stack. The artist is Haley Jane and...
The Primates.
Okay.
Hit it!
Yes! Okay, we should. In the... Say that.
I'm having some technical difficulties because the CD is not playing.
Turn off your mic.
So,
the volume.
So hang on just a second. We're figuring it out. Oh, is this it? Is it coming in? Okay.
To see my new life with him, and you don't want me talking to your wife again. Who are we fooling? Friendship is ruled out. I don't want you thinking about the time you didn't want me, or the night that I made you cry. You know I don't hate you. Enemies is ruled out. You know I want you, but I'm a different woman now. I know you want me, but we all know how this turns out. With love undercover, secret lovers is ruled out. Talking to your wife again. Who are we fooling? Friendship is ruled out. We both know we had the notion. Oh, oh, oh.
Just breathe. thinking, right. Talking about freedom, working, building America into the most powerful nation in the world.
Yes.
Cotton, sugar, indigo, iron, coal, peanuts, steel, railroad, you name it. The foundation of the United States rests on the sweat of my people.
Tell it. Tell it.
And in addition to working and sweating, don't ever forget that my people fought and died in every war. Every enemy of the USA has had to face my people on the front line. Yes, and when Teddy Roosevelt led his Rough Riders up San Juan Hill in the Spanish-American War, for the first time, my people returned home decorated heroes.
All right. Tell it.
They had won another war for Uncle Sam. Now, a decorated hero is a symbol of glamour.
Right.
And glamorous heroes are attractive.
Oh, yeah.
And so, being attractive, some of them attracted other men's women. And on the other hand, some heroes returned home to find that while they were gone, somebody had attracted their woman.
No good.
And right after that came the blues. The blues. The hero, the hero's woman, the husband of the hero's girlfriend, the girlfriend. Each one was eligible for the blues. And the one to get the blues was always the one left out. On the odd corner of that romantic triangle.
Believe it.
And as W.C. Handy might have said,
What did he say?
The blues is the accompaniment to the world's greatest duet, a man and a woman going steady. The blues is the accompaniment to the world's greatest duet, a man and a woman going steady. And if neither one of them feels like singing them, then the blues just vamps till ready.
Nothing but a cold gray day, and all night long it stays that way. Ain't something that leaves you alone, ain't nothing you want to call your own, ain't something sense enough to get up and go. Ain't nothing like nothing I know. The blues don't know. The blues don't know nobody as a friend. Ain't been nowhere where they're welcome back again. No ugly, mean blues. something that you sing in rhyme. The blues ain't nothing but a dark cloud marking time. The blues is a one-way ticket from your love to nowhere. The blues ain't nothing but a black crepe veil ready to wear. Sighing, crying, feel most like dying. The blues ain't nothing. The blues ain't the
people.
Yeah.
Singing.
Yeah.
Dancing.
Yeah.
Welcome back. You're on air. Nope, now you're on air. We have been having fun with some Duke Ellington and DD King.
Oh my gosh, I love Duke Ellington. Love, love, love.
Thank you for picking out the album.
Almost revolutionary.
Yes.
As the album notes say.
And also revolutionary are the vinyl spinning skills that we have acquired today.
Mostly Marissa, like DJ Marissa out here. Amazing. I'm so excited. I'm so excited to bring these new skills with me on the road.
I'm excited to share them.
Yeah.
For your road tripping vinyl needs. And so the most exciting thing that we've done in studio tonight was, in my opinion, was switching seamlessly from
gorgeous
one turntable gorgeous to the other one through the fader mechanism. So thank you for following along with us. So it is 9:29:25, and that screams time for a PSA.
Yes, and something that you should know is that Marissa and I came from not one, but two life-changing events tonight. Not only just
two.
The record-spinning realization, but before that, we were at this really, really cool event in Cambridge about food waste and food rescue. And we're really interested in reading a PSA about food today on this good old radio show in honor of that event. So I have this PSA here called Order Your Free Vegetarian Starter Kit at PETA.org. And I'll read that for y'all now. Did you know that you could save 100 animals per year just by adopting a meat-free diet? That's right. Going vegetarian saves animal lives as well as your own. And if that's not appealing enough, it's tasty, easy, and can be incredibly inexpensive, too. And to start you off saving real money at the grocery store while eating healthier, PETA will send you a free vegetarian starter kit. So, what do you say? Just Google free vegetarian starter kit and go to the PETA website, then fill out the form there to receive a free copy of PETA's vegetarian and vegan starter kit. Or view the online version that's posted there. It will guide you through the transition to a healthier, happier, and longer-lasting life. It has everything from recipes and tips on eating out to health information and videos. That's PETA.org. This has been a public service announcement from People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals and your tomato, mushroom, and onion-loving friends here at WMFO.
Why limit it to tomato, mushroom, and onion?
That was not an ad lib. That's really written in the PSA. But Marissa and I are tomato, mushroom, and onion loving friends at WMFO.org.
That we are.
I would say. I don't want to speak for both of us. Do you like them all?
I used to be anti-mushroom, but I'm changing that recently.
I used to be anti-tomato, but I got over that about a year ago, and now I'm like pro-tomato.
Nice.
So here's something that I learned tonight, and tell me... I want to hear what you were surprised about. So I feel like I knew a bit about food waste. I mean, I knew that it's an incredible problem, and I knew that a lot of energy goes into producing food that is not marketable, which is like really effed up. But what I learned from this documentary that we watched tonight, which you should all watch, it's called Just Eat It. And I actually looked it up. If you Google Just Eat It documentary, it's free online. You can watch it. And I really recommend watching it. But I did not know that. I think the statistic, and correct me if I'm wrong, was 40% of food grown becomes food waste.
I don't remember
or
that.
Or up to 40%. Maybe like 20 to 40%.
The one that stuck with me was 25% of food purchased.
Like purchased.
Food
exactly.
That is purchased that goes into households.
Yes.
Rots in the refrigerator. Or
right.
Becomes food waste.
And they like had this crazy visual of like someone walking out of a grocery store with 4 bags of groceries, which is normal. I feel like that's like not a crazy amount of groceries to walk out of the store with. And then just like imagine having 4 bags of groceries, walking out of the store, and then just like dropping one in the parking lot and leaving it there. That was the visual. And it was like, pretty poignant, eh?
Poignant, exactly.
Yeah.
And something from the PSA that you just read that stuck with me was there was a statistic about 100 animal lives saved or something like that. And then I was thinking, like, okay.
Per year,
I'm interested in the animal lives saved. I'm more interested in the resources behind that. So,
right.
Like the amount of water, the
right.
amount of land, arable
totally.
Land that was used for these animals. Like, that is much more interesting to me than the actual physical animals.
Yeah.
And I think that that's more hidden in the idea of mm-hmm. what we eat. That's the, like, down the food chain part of it.
It's really, really crazy to think about. And there were actually also something that I hadn't totally, I guess, thought about was they kept making parallels between food and like food consumption and then like energy as we think of it, as in like natural gases and like fuel supplies for like heating and cooling our houses, or like for like gasoline, or I mean energy in like the more concrete ways that we normally think about energy, and then like drawing a parallel line between that and then food waste, and how food waste is kind of an overlooked thing that we just do, and it's wild.
And the way the film termed that was that food waste is the one waste that is not taboo.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah,
that's fascinating
true.
To me. Like, it's there's a psychology behind it always
is.
Wanting to have a surplus of food if you're a host.
Right.
But on the other side of that, like, if you waste water, there's a lot of campaigns that say, like, oh, don't waste water, don't...
Totally.
All these other resources. And so why is food seen as such a renewable resource to the extent that it's expected to be in surplus.
Yeah, there's an interesting, I actually have looked into this a bit, like the psychology behind it, just on a local scale. So at Boston Public Market, there are like several different produce markets at Boston Public Market. So there's like Sienna Farms, which is the big produce source at Boston Public Market. And it's actually a source of like a lot of local restaurants as well that like source local produce. And like the philosophy and like the historical philosophy with produce markets, it's beauty and bounty. So like you see, and this was talked about in the film too. So you see like a huge stack of like beautiful tri-colored peppers and it's gorgeous and really like inviting, and everyone, I don't know, is pulled in by that. And it's great because it's local food and it's like all these like gorgeous colorful peppers. And then something that some newer farms and some other like alternative producers are doing is just like producing more based on how much produce is actually sold. So like instead of beauty and bounty, it's just like the produce, I guess the beauty side, but not as much the bounty. So like producing exactly what is needed, which was talked about in the film. Like, okay, if we produce 30 heads of lettuce and there's like this overflowing bin of lettuce like that looks gorgeous and people are like, oh wow, beautiful, like so into this lettuce, local lettuce, then it'll all get sold, or like most of it will be sold. But if there's one head of lettuce remaining, people will think, oh, there's one head of lettuce, like maybe there's something wrong with it or it's defective or something, and people and will be less attracted to it. So it's like shifting from this view of beauty and bounty to like more of just like a sustainable amount of produce, which I think some producers are actually being really intentional about. And it's really interesting to like now with that knowledge go into a grocery store or a farmer's market and think about that when you're looking through the produce and not letting that bias you as much, or like, you know what I mean?
I do. Was this through Anthropology Fieldwork Lab?
So this is kind of secondhand.
Okay.
But yes, like through okay. research in that field.
To continue the idea of the psychology of food,
mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if this is an accurate connection, but this is making me think of what I think is termed the cheerleader effect in psychology, of mm-hmm. like multiple things or people together having a more attractive appearance. Like,
oh, totally.
And I'm not
totally
sure why that applies. Like, why does that apply to a bucket of lettuce?
Right.
Or why does that, I mean.
So I guess, I mean, this is just now me drawing on personal experience. So PSA within the PSA, I'm not an anthropologist or a scientist or a psychologist, but when you're a consumer, like the most attractive thing, think about like reviews on Amazon, right? Like when I'm shopping on Amazon and I'm like going to buy a very like conventional product, for example, like recently I had to get polarized sunglasses because my grandma told me that I had to protect my retinas because she had some eye problems. So she said, okay, you need to buy polarized sunglasses. And I thought, okay, well, I don't want to spend a lot of money on them, so let me go on Amazon because it has like a million different options and a lot of really cheap options. And obviously the first thing I do is I sort by reviews because I want to see what the what consumers think of it. And so like the first thing that comes up is a pair of sunglasses that has like 10 reviews and they're all 5 stars because it has like 100% great reviews. And I look at that and I'm like, okay, well, there's only 10 reviews. I don't trust it. Like maybe it's, you know, I don't know, like someone's family members that are supporting their little like sunglasses company and all like giving it 5-star reviews. Okay, let me scroll down. The next one has like 400 reviews and they're like 85 or 90% positive reviews. So like immediately I'm drawn to that one. I don't know. I don't have no real information like objectively telling me that one pair of sunglasses is better than the other. But, like, innately, I'm going to trust something that has more support behind it. So if I'm, like, I guess extending that to produce shopping, what I'm going to be more drawn to is the thing that people are going to want a lot, and the thing that's, like, produced a ton of. So, like, people for, like, heirloom tomatoes that are, like, super popular, and there's, like, so many selections, and, like, it's, like, the popular item that, like, everyone wants. So there's, like, I don't know, an abundance. Maybe. I don't know. Do you see my logic here?
I'm following you. Yeah, and so the thing that makes me think of is, then that's, like, that's edging towards mass production, because you, like, it's drawing more and more customers. You're getting mass production, you're getting standardization, like, out of that effect of mass production.
Right.
And from the film today, to go back to it, like, there, I kind of had three interesting takeaways that were lingering in my mind. One of them was the psychology behind it, which we talked about. The next one was standardization, where they talked about coming from, so not just, like, the size of the apple has to be the same, but even down to, like, they showed stalks of celery, and the celery has to fit in a bag, and the bags are the same size. So, like, that was an aspect I hadn't thought of. It could be a perfectly beautiful, stellar stalk of celery, but it's too big.
Yeah.
And so then they waste half the celery by peeling off the outside layers.
Right.
And so then I was thinking of the standardized product, because there's a larger mass market for the...
Totally.
Yeah. So...
And it's I mean, we could talk about this for so long, but I think it's also super interesting. Like, I was working on a commercial farm last summer. I was working on a commercial banana farm, and they actually sourced to Whole Foods.
It was international, right?
Yeah. Okay. So a huge part of that is that those bananas have to travel from their farm in Costa Rica all the way to the U.S., and they mostly source to, like, the southeast U.S., so it's, like, a pretty... I mean, for going from Costa Rica to the U.S., it's, like, pretty direct. But you have to then think about, okay, if there's any type of imperfection on the banana when it's in the factory, when it's getting harvested and getting packaged in Costa Rica, it's completely discarded immediately right there. Because then it goes through the entire process of being packaged for consumption and going and being shipped to the U.S., like, trucked to the airport, flown to the U.S., trucked to the stores, packaged again with, like, the store's packaging. And along the way, there's 800,000 opportunities for the produce to get messed up more. And then, so that's the cream of the crop, right? We're, like, weeding out maybe up to 40% of the produce grown, as, like, the film suggested. Then it's getting to the consumer, this cream of the crop fruit that we've been growing and putting all this energy into, all this, like, human power behind. And then, like, 25% of the time it's getting wasted after the consumer buys it. So it goes through all those steps, and then even then it's being wasted. How much energy are you wasting on food? Isn't that crazy to think about?
Yes. Everybody should, PSA, take a moment to think about this.
PSA, buy the amount of food you actually need.
PSA, go dumpster diving.
I think that's what Marissa and I are going to do after this.
Yeah.
And also something that I know people that do, and that I haven't really given much merit to, and I kind of want to give a little more merit to, is buying the produce at stores that's, like, not totally perfect, but, like, still super edible. Like, for example, back to the bananas, like, if you have a bunch of bananas, say you're buying 5 bananas, and, like, one of them's a little brown or bruised, you can eat that one today, and it's gonna be fine and perfectly edible. But maybe, like, if you go for, like, the perfect bunch of bananas, and then, like, someone else that's even, like, less tolerant or knowledgeable about produce standards than you comes in, and they're like, okay, well, that bunch of bananas is, you know, corrupt because of that one brown banana. Like, that bunch of bananas is gonna get thrown away. You just take that bunch of bananas. You know it's fine. You know, it doesn't have to be beautiful. Just eat the ugly fruit.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I think there is a school of a discipline of scholarly thought on ugly fruit.
Yeah.
Ugly anything.
Don't buy baby carrots either. Those shits are literally a bag of waste product. That's another rant.
That problematizes my childhood.
Yeah. It problematizes my, like, want and desire now to buy baby carrots and eat a whole bag in one day, but, like, literally just buy the ugly carrots.
Yeah. I've seen a number of supermarkets, including Whole Foods, surprisingly, but I think I've also seen more news reports from, like, European stores who have started doing large discounts on items that are going to expire, say, tomorrow.
Oh,
and I think that's the future of, like, large-scale commercial reduction of food waste on the consumption end. You're right about how, like, we're nowhere near tackling the bananas that are wasted before they leave the country of origin. But having worked in food rescue, picking up things from the back door of Whole Foods and bringing them to shelters, I am always startled and really disturbed by the amount of, like, technically expired food that is perfectly eligible for consumption and would be thrown in a dumpster. So,
and working in restaurants is the same way. Like, there's so many health standards that are just completely kind of ridiculous, but you just have to go with it. And, like, throwing away food that's perfectly fine. I'm, like, such a fiend for just eating food at restaurants that's, like, been touched by, like, a fork that wasn't washed, or, like, you know, something, like, crazy, or, like, been put out on someone's plate and then they wanted to send it back, and then it's, like, a completely untouched plate of food that's then thrown away.
Are employees allowed to eat that? Like, I have no idea what the regulations are.
So in most, like, restaurants and cafes, like, yeah, you're allowed. I mean, it's not against the rules to eat things. It's just more of, like, okay, like, I'm not really hungry. Like, you know, like, there's a whole meal out here and I'm not really in the mood for a meal, but I'm so fiendish for just, like, eating the meals because I feel so bad that they're getting thrown away. And that's the downfall of my working in restaurants, is that I eat, like, 5 meals while I'm on the job.
Yeah. And
but free food.
Yeah.
Why not?
And to throw in another word from an anthropology class.
Kathy Stan?
No, Alex Blanchett.
Oh my gosh. Husband, Alex Blanchett. Love him.
So we talked about sanitation states and the idea of the U.S., especially with, like, cultures of pasteurization and how cheeses are prohibited in the U.S. but are perfectly fine and acceptable in other countries, or, you know, beyond cheese.
So interesting, just to think of our standards.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh.
How this idea of hyper-sanitation that we have in the U.S. is a huge cause of food waste, like you're saying about something that's been touched by another hand, something that is technically expired yet edible. Yeah. Why?
Or not even technically edible, but just, like, perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. But we're putting these pretty arbitrary, like, standards on things, and, like, it's a symptom of, like, mass production as well, like, where you're putting these standards that are then affecting, like, huge crops of food, or, like, huge, like, portions of food that are portioned out. And it's like, okay, it's not a perfect science, but yet we're throwing away maybe 25%, 40% of this food based on this standard that we've made, that it's, like, kind of arbitrary, and then it ends up being, like, super impactful on the amount of waste that comes from the food crop. I don't know. I'm really inspired by this little event that we went to, and I want to really look into some more things.
And there was great cider there.
And there was great cider, and a lot of great local restaurants provided some of their potential food waste, I think. We food rescued at the event, so it was a great event.
Yeah.
Highly recommend Food for All.
Yes, it's an app you can download.
I
feel slightly
it?
Commercial right now.
Is it an app
you can download from the App Store, I think.
Right, but is it just in Boston? Because I think that's the...
I think it's in Boston and New York.
Okay.
Is my understanding.
So Boston and New York, Food for All, download it. You get crazy discounts on food that would probably end up being food waste if you weren't there out rescuing it. and it's just like delicious and great and cheap and like a great way to save money and like eat amazing food.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I want to give a shout out. If Grace Shank is anywhere on the radio waves,
oh,
she's done a lot of work with Food for All.
She's done a ton of work and done a ton of work shouting it out to both Marissa and I and a huge audience. Personally, this event was my first time actually interacting with the app, but it's an incredible app, and Grace actually put a lot of work into it, and I really heavily recommend downloading it.
Yeah. There's one more idea I had floating around from this film that I want to talk about, which is so I've thought a lot about the idea of sustainable or responsible or conscientious eating being seasonal eating, like mm-hmm. eating with what's in season, right? So then you're cutting down on transportation costs of
right.
out of season strawberries, you have any of those thing. So eating what's local and what's seasonal.
However.
Yeah. Well, so yeah, I'm not sure what you're going to say, but and I want to hear it.
No, well, I'm just anticipating okay. that you have a however coming.
Well, so however, you know, what if that lets the largest waste or the largest anyway, thing pass you by, which is in my idea, this idea of like cycles of waste. Like what if you ate with cycles of waste, which
instead of cycles of seasons.
And that's what we saw in this video, was a couple that decided to eat for 6 months off solely rescued food. And at times they would have a fridge full of eggs, and they would be eating
or
eggs.
Fridge full of like chocolate or cheese or like,
yeah, because it's not so much scavenging like the small bits, it's actually like, you know, crates of an item that go
that
to waste
have all expired together.
Yes, exactly. And yeah. So this idea of like that, I think a science exists behind the like fluctuating cycles of what is wasted, and like maybe that has some impact with things that are in season.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it doesn't. I'm not sure how that works, but
there's definitely data to be gathered on that. And
yeah.
If anyone out here is a gatherer and researcher of data, or a computer science or like statistic person that feels like this might be interesting, definitely feel like that's something that A, you should look into just for the good of humanity, and B, could become profitable and could be a great idea to market to people. And also a really sustainable way of living.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point, Marissa.
Thanks. I was feeling mentally inspired. Yeah, this is my first ever talk radio show.
Yeah.
I'm really enjoying it.
It wasn't intentionally a talk radio show, but we got really off on a tangent, and here we are.
Yeah. So are you ready to get back to music?
I'm so ready to get back to music.
Okay, what I have queued up is a CD I found on the shelves by the Congos.
Ooh, lovely.
And the title of the album is Give Them the Rights.
Lovely album by the Congos.
So
I'm super excited for y'all to hear it.
Me as well. Here we go.
It can't work. Are you a chopping, Mr. Man? With wicked men, it can't work. Oh, you a drop it, Mr. Man. It can't work. Oh, you a drop it, wicked man.
Oh yes.
You kill some, you put some in prison. You feed some, you leave some beyond grave. Great plans you have for your children. What about mine? Yeah. After stealing all these wealth, you take it for yourself alone. You make yourself a star and put some behind the bar. You make yourself a superstar while others are paving cars. It can't work. Are you a trumpet, Mr. Man? Hear me now. Hey now, it can't work. Are you a drop between?
wicked man. Yeah, bobo. One or two that escape, you give them a piece of bread to control them. One or two that break away, you just can't control them. You try to hide our control from the children of today. You're gonna make a decision, for Jah is coming with his mission. It can't work, or you will drop it, Mr. Man. Hear me now, I'm warning you now. It can't work, or you will drop it, wicked man. To that breakaway, you just can't control them. You try to hide our culture from the children of today, but you're gonna make a decision. Yeah, now Baja is coming with his mission. It can't work, or you might drop it, Mr. Man. I'm warning you, telling you.
It right. The people cry for freedom, suffering with hunger, nowhere to lay my weary head. Can't you see the problem faced by this generation? Sit in your house and ask for more. What do you want out of my people? Hear me now.
Give them the rights, give them the rights.
Justice for the people. Oh Lord God, I pray up to this day.
Give them the rights, give them the rights.
Justice for the nation. To make it right, the people cries for freedom, suffering with hunger, nowhere to lay my weary head. Can't you see the problem?
We are approaching the 10 o'clock hour.
3, 2, 1.